Welcome to the Keeping Pace podcast. My first conversation is with Angela Swain. Angela is a talented runner who grew up in the Detroit area, but now lives in Chicago. Angela started running at age 11 and ran well enough in high school to walk on at Michigan State. Since graduating from college, Angela has focused on the marathon where her best is 2:51. In this conversation, we discuss how Angela got into running, what it's been like being black in a mostly white sport, and how to get black kids interested in running. Also, I would like to thank Nicole Bush and Mario Fraoli for the tips and advice they have given me. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Thank you for joining my new podcast. I wanted you to be the first guest just because I know we have good conversations always, and I think it just would be natural.
Yeah. Agreed. I love our conversations, Mike Moreau. It's always a good time.
Basically, I want to ask you, we've talked about, you know, African Americans and running and, you know, how we get more of them into the sport. So I want to ask, how did you get your start with running?
Yeah, so I have 10 brothers and sisters, and I'm the ninth in the line. And so, like, it's not like my parents ran. I don't remember seeing a lot of people I knew, like, in my community or my parents or, like, aunts and uncles or anything, like, as runners. But I had two older sisters that did. They didn't really run cross country. They did, like, mid-distance in track, like the 400 and 800. I think they might have tried cross country for one season, but didn't take it seriously or didn't do it for very long. So, you know, like being the younger sister or the younger sibling, you're always like looking at your older siblings, seeing what they do. And they had a lot of trophies and medals. And I was like, okay, well, there must be something to this. And the middle school I went to, sports came about once you were in middle school, once you were in the sixth grade. And the sports at the time that I could do, it was like basketball, volleyball, or running. And like, I was still really small, like short, like just so much shorter than everybody else. So basketball and volleyball made no sense to me. So I was like, well, running, even if I suck, I can still do it. You know, like anybody can run the race. It doesn't matter if you're fast or slow. So it was just like, seemed like the natural thing to try. I knew my sisters ran. I knew that I could do it. Like, who can't? Like, in the sixth grade, I'm like, well, who can't run, you know? And gave it a shot. And we only had cross country. We didn't have a track team. All they offered was cross country. So I went in as a distance runner. That was my only option. And then that just kind of stuck.
So you go from it being almost like you said, one of the only options you had. What made you stick with it once you got to the high school level?
So in middle school, like, I thought I was good. I mean, it was a small school. We weren't even a public school. Well, obviously, we didn't have a track team. So it was a charter school. And I was just winning races. You know, I won my second cross country race. And in my head, it's like, I didn't do much. I was just out there running. I ended up being good at it. And so, like, I thought I was good at it. So when I got to high school, I was like, well, this is what I'm good at. And I was still like just, yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, I thought I was good at it and I liked it. I remember liking it when I was in middle school. All my friends did it in middle school, and I would run on the weekends even as a middle schooler. Like, I did discover in that time that it was like fun for me. I don't exactly know why, but at the time I didn't understand why I liked it. But I liked it. I thought I was good at it. So in high school, I was like, oh, I should just, I guess, continue to be good at it and do what you're good at. Do what you think you like.
Yeah, you stuck with it. Did you have the same success in middle school? I mean, in high school that you had in middle school? And, you know, what did you do if you did have struggles?
Mm-hmm. Definitely not. Not that first year. That's for sure. My first 5K was like, I think it was like 25 minutes and something else, or close to 27 minutes. I can't remember, but it was slow. And this is, so I like joined the team, and I went to a mostly white high school. My middle school was a little more diverse, but the high school was very white in this white town that I didn't live in. And I definitely didn't feel very welcomed on the team. Nobody was like overtly mean towards me, but it was clear that I didn't fit in. And it was honestly really frustrating. Like I sucked. I was really slow. My teammates didn't like me. They all thought I was weird. And I don't know why I kept doing it, to be honest. I remember talking to, like, kind of venting to my mom about it after she picked me up from a cross country meet. She picked me up from the school, and I was like, "Man, Mom, I suck. I'm terrible. You know, my teammates don't like me. I don't think I'm having fun." And she, like, snapped at me. She said, "Well, why don't you quit then?" And I don't know, something about that was like, "No, I'm not gonna quit because you told me to." It was kind of like my way of being a defiant teenager. I was like, "Well, I'm going to stick this out and I'm not going to quit just because you suggested it, Mom." And so in my rebellion against my mom, I stuck with the cross country team. And I think why I could have easily not done track or easily not done cross country the following year. But I think the reason I kept with it was like my improvement that even in that freshman year was really, really big. So how I said my first race was I think like close to 28 minutes for the 5K. Like by the end of my freshman year, I was at the top of the JV team, and we had a good distance team. Like it was a fairly serious program that I was a part of. Like running wasn't just fun anymore like it was in middle school. Like it was a serious thing to do. And I saw how much I improved. And so I stuck with it. And the head coach, you know, I was still going to have the same coach and everything in track. But when track came along, more people joined the team. And I felt like it was a little more fun. And so I saw how much I improved. And I thought, hey, I can be better. I'm at the top of the JV team. Next year, I can be varsity. Like, you know, something to work towards.
I think that's really interesting, and that's something we haven't talked about before, is you sticking with running because your mom said to quit.
Yeah. Yep.
I think most kids would have just been like, okay, I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something you just mentioned that I want to talk about too is the difference between, you know, running in middle school and high school. You just mentioned that, you know, it wasn't as fun and it was a little bit more serious. Was it hard to go from it being something that was just fun and to something that's more serious? And how did you manage that once you figured out it, you know, it just wasn't as fun?
So the team, like I said, our team was good. Like they would win the league meet and like try to win regionals every year and stuff. So I guess just kind of being a natural competitor, it's like, well, I like to, like, winning is fun, you know? And I learned quickly that this is why this team wins, because running is serious, like how seriously they take it. And winning is more fun than just like having fun at practice, you know? So that transition actually wasn't that hard. And it's kind of like also being that young going into high school, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about anything. So I just did what the coach told me. I just listened and followed and did what they said. And I just fell into that, the discipline that the team had, because I recognized that they were a winning team. And I was like, well, this is how you win. So I'm going to be a part of this winning team. And eventually I want to be able to help. So I don't remember that transition being that hard, especially because like part of what made middle school so fun is because so many of my friends did it. I was with a lot of my friends and people that I enjoyed being around. And here I didn't know anybody and I didn't like them and they didn't really like me. So not like outwardly, it just I didn't fit in. And so, like, it already just wasn't fun because of that. But I wasn't going to let that keep me from something I thought I liked to do and from the prospect of, like, being on a winning team. Because we won in middle school. Our team was a winning team in middle school, and that was fun. So yeah, that transition wasn't that hard, I don't think.
Interesting. So eventually you go from JVs to varsity. Mm-hmm. When did you start having success, and did things ever improve with your teammates? Because I think with running, even though people don't see it as a team sport, if you're not getting along with your teammates, it can affect your running and just not be fun.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, definitely improved for sure. So like I said, I had a really big improvement that freshman year, the beginning, even within the cross country season, the beginning of the season and versus the last bit of the season. I remember like the first race when I knew like, oh, I can, like, I'm doing it. I ran by somebody that I knew was supposed to be in front of me. I just zooped right by her. I was like, oh, well, here it is. Here it's happening. So as soon as sophomore year, I was doing really well. Well, a lot better. And junior and senior year, I was consistently the second best person on our team, which our first best person, she like went to nationals in California, you know, so she was running 18 minutes, which, you know, I mean, kids these days are really, really fast. I think a lot faster than what we were in high school, but she was running a lot, like just a lot faster than I was. But yeah, the relationship definitely changed. It was like the coach all of a sudden cared, because I felt that too from the coach. I felt it from the coach. Like, I think people had the perception that I didn't care, or that eventually I was going to quit. And I know that we're still in high school, but I'll circle back to that whenever we talk about my experience at Michigan State. But yeah, the coach gave me more attention, more time, and my teammates, once they saw that I was serious, and once they saw that I had something to offer, I had more value, I guess. And then everybody was just more willing, I'd say. And I never got to the point where I felt like I completely fit in, but it got to the point where I considered a lot of them my friends, and we had, you know, I had fun, and I didn't feel like a complete outsider. Like, I was part of the team. I was never one of them, or I didn't feel like, because I didn't change to like fit their mold. Never. That's never my style. But they like accepted me more, is what I should say.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that, because I can't imagine being at practice every day with people that just aren't fun to be around. If, you know, both ways, it's got to be tough.
Yeah, it took a while. Like, I was, and you know, high school, you're like 14, 15, so you're kind of emotional and stuff for no reason. And so, yeah, it was heavy. It was hard. Like, I'm shocked I stuck that out. I really don't know. Well, I know why I did it, but I really did not enjoy that freshman year at all. And sophomore year was a little choppy at first, but yeah.
And so one other thing I want to ask you about is, you know, like me, you went to a predominantly white high school. What was that like from that perspective?
So high school, like, what do you mean? Like, just by
being like probably one of the only African American girls on the team. Mm-hmm. Was that hard, or is
I guess it wasn't too hard, because I had gotten used to in elementary school being by a lot of white people. So there were more black people in my elementary school, but I used to go to a school in Detroit, up until the fourth grade. And you know, I went to a black church and lived around enough black people. But then when I got to school in the fourth grade, all of a sudden I was like one of three black kids or four black kids in a class. So I had gotten used to that. And so that didn't like surprise me by the time I was in high school. Like that actually wasn't that hard just because I already knew that that's what it was going to be like. And I already kind of knew how I had to conduct myself in that space. And there was actually my first 2 years, there was one other black girl on the team until she graduated. And then it was just me on the cross country team, of course. And then it was just me, my last couple years.
Okay. So event, you start having success when, and you end up going to Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Did you always know you might want to run in college, or is that something you got to Michigan State and you're like, hey, let's see how this will work out?
Oh, yeah, I definitely knew I wanted to run because my senior year ended so terribly for me. And I was like, you know, this can't stop here, you know. So for me, I wanted to see how good I could be. I wanted to see how far I could get as a competitive runner. And I knew high school, I knew that program was really confined, you know, like I didn't like the program we had to PAVO that we had to follow in high school. I felt like it was just too uniform and that it didn't change enough for the specific athlete. And so I was like, college, I want to see what I can do. And I may never, you know, I probably won't be great, like a national champion or anything. I never expect anything like that. You know, I'm a walk-on, for Christ's sake. I didn't get any scholarship. So I knew, even before I knew I was going to Michigan State, I knew that wherever I went to school, I was going to try to join the team. I didn't know that I was joining a Big Ten championship team. I had no idea what I was doing. I had just decided to go to Michigan State. And the coaches were like, cool, and thought that I'd be a good addition to their team. And, you know, so I was like, well, that's a plus, you know, being a walk-on. Like, the coaches see value in me, even though, you know, my times aren't like a lot of these other people joining the team. Like, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. So I definitely knew I wanted to run in college.
Did you end up doing cross and track, or just one or track?
Cross and track. So, yep, in season always. So, first race before school starts, last race after school's over. So, yep, no time to party for us distance runners. Super.
What events did you end up running?
So in track, because of course cross country was a 6K, which it should be an 8K for everybody. Plug equality. Anyway, but for track, I mainly did the 1500, and I really think I could have been good at the 5K. But we had so many women who were really, really, really good in those events that you know, somebody like me who's not great at anything, they'll try to like cultivate you in a space where it's more needed. And because I did have some speed, it made sense why the coaches made that decision, but I do think I would have been better at the 5K. But mainly the 1500 was my race for outdoor. Indoor, that's the true mile, and sometimes I did the K, which is such a weird distance for indoor. I did an 800 here or there, indoor and outdoor, but mile and the 1500 for track, 6K for cross country.
So what was your experience like as a walk-on? Did you have, you know, similar difficulties making friends with, you know, the scholarship athletes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, once again, I'm the only black person on this team, but I'm used to this space, and I come in knowing that's what it's going to be, and I'm expecting it, right? So that's not hard for me to get used to. It's never an easy position to be in, but, like, I kind of know already how this goes. And so, yeah, I kind of latched on a lot more to some of the older women on the team who were like maybe juniors or seniors. 'Cause my class, there were quite a few kids on scholarship who were just straight up kind of mean. and like made it clear that they knew how good they were and didn't see the point, I guess, of like somebody like me on the team. Like, once again, instantly, completely felt like a kind of like an outsider within my class for sure. And yeah, but there were a lot of girls who were really, really nice, but not didn't necessarily go out of their way to make me or the other couple walk-ons feel more included. Mainly in my class, the older girls were a lot of them were really cool. And so it wasn't as bad as high school because it was a bigger team. So there's more people you can find to talk to. But there were definitely groups or cliques, I guess. And I wasn't in the cool one, that's for sure. And I did not care. It's like the fact that I was, you know, like being black in these white spaces, I never really... like I wasn't afraid to speak about blackness, I guess, or talk about certain things that I know would probably make white people uncomfortable. I would say it anyway, kind of person. So I guess I just allowed myself to be on the outside and didn't care that that's what it was. But I had friends on the team, and it wasn't as bad there. I think the heaviest part of being the only black girl on a team that has like freaking 50 runners or whatever is you become a lot of people's one black friend, a lot, and the person they feel safe to ask questions to and to talk to, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're a spokesperson for all the black people of the world, and that's not an easy position to be in. And then like me trying to explain certain things, you know, it's for people who are curious or who would ask about stuff. I don't know. I think that's honestly the hardest part, is knowing that you're a lot of white people's one contact to the whole black community. It's like, I better do the best I can. I felt like I had a duty. I had a calling to show a range of blackness and to remind them that like I am black. Like, don't you dare try to see me as not one of them. You know, don't you dare try to see me as not like other black people just because right now I'm not like other black people because I'm on a Division I cross country team. Yeah, in that sense, but you know, like I am part of this community, and black people come in all kinds of ways. And no matter if we're on a cross country team or not, we share a very similar experience out in this world in America. So like I really took that with a lot of grace. I took that job seriously. Like, having to be so many people's one black friend, that's what's hard. And by the time I got to college, that's what was hard.
Do you think that had any impact on your running?
Ooh, that is a good question. At the time, no. And yeah, at the time, I don't think so. Like, because as it is a very team sport, but at the same time, like, you kind of focus on yourself and do what you know you can do. Like, I can't control who my teammates are. I can't control what they think or some of the ignorant things they say. But I can control how much effort I'm going to put into this mile repeat. And I can control what my mileage is, you know. So for me, it actually, I don't think it did have a negative impact on my training. But I can understand how it possibly could. And looking back, maybe in some ways it did, you know, like I can't say that if I was on a more diverse team or like didn't feel like I had that burden on me all the time, like maybe I would have performed better. I honestly don't know.
It's an interesting thought. Yeah, I wonder just maybe subconsciously it was a little bit of a stressor because that's something you never really had to deal with. I mean, you said you were used to it in middle school and high school, but I feel like in college, as you get older, it's a much different experience.
Yep.
And
definitely.
It's with all the things currently happening, you know, are you getting that same question from people? This is very non-running related, but it's kind of similar.
What question?
You know, like being the, you know, this, the speaker of the race.
Yeah. So I don't,
which is funny. I mean, it's not funny, but I don't have as many white friends now as I did as I was in college. So
I've had just a couple of people kind of talk to me about what's going on, you know, and I know like that I'm their point of contact on all things racial, but not that many. And I think, you know, now that we're in our late 20s, a lot of the, you know, my friends are obviously going to be my same age or a little older, a little younger. Like a lot of people are now just very much more aware. So they have are less inclined to ask me a question, more inclined to go look themselves. Because I also, you know, my friends are educated and know how to educate themselves. And back in college, not so much. Like most people, like, be curious about something and like just ask me, you know, or like there's a conversation and, oh, well, what does the one black person think that's here? Whereas now, especially with Instagram or Twitter and things, like they can get a lot of opinions from very educated and well-spoken black people, like really close, super easy. So I really haven't gotten a ton of my white friends to reach out to me personally. And I think it's because my friends, they do know how to educate themselves. A lot of them read a lot and know a lot. And now that we're older, kind of know how to navigate these things a little better on their own, which I am so thankful for, because I'm sick of doing that.
a little bit of a diversion there, but I thought that was a good question to ask. So back into running, you graduate from Michigan State. A lot of college runners, I won't say a lot, but some definitely are tired of the sport by the time they reach their senior year. What was your post college running career like?
Yeah, so it ended terribly. Like Big Ten's track, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. I didn't walk because of we had a track meet, and it was my last meet. It was just bad. And so I kind of like was angry at it. I was like, running, I gave you all this good time and these good years, and what do you do for me in return? Anyway, so I was like, I'm going to take 2 weeks off. I didn't run. And I thought, I'm just, you know, maybe going to be a casual runner and like run every other day, stay healthy. You know, like for a lot of people who ran in college, running is kind of social, you know, because you talk to your teammates you're running with people all the time. You're having conversations. And so I'd meet up with other friends who had graduated, and our hangout was we'd go for a run, you know. And so that's kind of what my running was like at first. It was like purely social for a while. And then when I started working at a running store, yeah, I mean, you get bored. Like I said, I think I'm kind of naturally a competitive person, or I just like to push myself. And so I was bored, and I was like, oh, I think I'll try for a half marathon. Working in a running store, like a lot of people ask, oh, you know, have you done a marathon? Have you done a half marathon? Have you done this, that? And my answer was always no, no, but I ran in college. No. So that just got me thinking into road racing and marathons, because marathon was like the number one thing people would ask if I'd done one. So I was like, well, I'll start with a half marathon and see where it goes. I was talking to I was talking to somebody I work with and telling him that, and he was like, oh, just a half. And I was like, well, bet. And that day I signed up for a marathon. That was 4 months later, because he pretty much called me a punk and told me that I couldn't do it. So
sounds like I'm seeing a pattern in your running story.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me, man. So like That's what I heard. I heard him call me a punk. Those words never really escaped his mouth. I know that's what he meant. So I signed up for a marathon. And and that was like maybe 6 months after I had graduated already or something like that.
What was the marathon?
It was Bayshore up in Traverse City, Michigan. So where I worked at Playmakers in Okemos, Michigan. And they had a big group of people always went up to do that marathon. It's Memorial Day. It's in Traverse City, which is really beautiful, like little town up there. I knew that it would be like well supported, that I'd see a lot of people I knew up there. And it was like good timing. I was like, 4 months seems like a good, enough time to train for a marathon. And so that's why I picked that one. 2015.
And from what I know, I think you're leaving out a pretty big thing about that marathon.
About Bayshore?
Yeah, isn't that the one you want? Oh.
No. Yeah, I won my second marathon. Bayshore, I got ninth place. Yeah, I got ninth place.
That's still pretty good for a debut.
Yeah, I ran a 3:04, which was, I thought I was going to break through my first marathon. I was like, I'm going to train. I was looking at, times, and so I don't know anything about marathoning. I ran, my longest race was a 6K. So I'm looking and I'm like, 6:45 pace. That seems respectable for a marathon. I'm going to shoot for 6:45 pace. And so that's what I was training at. I was training to go 6:45 pace for my first marathon. And I don't know anything about marathons. I took workouts we would do in college and I just made them longer and slower. Like, it was stupid. And I got injured along the way, of course. But so, my goal was a 2:57 because that's a 6:45 pace. And I got out there and I was on pace. I was cruising. I was like, these people don't know what's about to happen. And then, of course, you hit that wall around 22 and a half. And I thought I was going to die. I didn't know if I'd ever run again. And I finished at a 3:04, which is why I had to do another marathon, because at that point, the marathon defeated me. And I was like, no, I will get you. And so I signed up for the Grand Rapids Marathon, which was 4 months after Bayshore in October. And that one I did win, and I ran a 2:57. Yeah.
That's two pretty good races to start your marathon career.
Yeah, it was solid. Nothing crazy, but
I mean, I would have definitely taken a 3:04 for my first. My first was a disaster. We can talk about that at some other time.
Mine felt like a disaster, but it was fine.
Okay, so you spent some time up in Detroit. How did you end up in Chicago?
So I have a sister who came here for undergrad, and she's been here ever since. So she's 10 years older than me. There's a bunch of us in between. So she had been trying to get people to move out here since she'd been out here. So she went to undergrad here, graduate school here, and eventually another one of my sisters followed her out here in Evanston. And they had been calling me. They're like, man, you should just move. You're not doing anything in Michigan anyway. And I was like, oh, you're right. I'm not. I'll move. So I left. I left Michigan and I was living with my sister in Evanston for my first year out here. And then my second year out here, I moved into the city. Because Michigan's boring and Chicago's fun. And I had sisters out here, so I didn't have to like plan to have a place to stay or a job or any lined up or anything yet. I could just go because I could stay with my sister for a while.
What was it like getting into a new running scene? Because I know moving to a new city is difficult in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was really tough. Like, I was falling out of love with running because I never had anyone to run with. Like I said earlier, I truly am a social runner. Like, I love running. I love to talk while running. I love to talk about running while running or talk about anything, And when I moved to Evanston, it was like I just didn't really see a ton of people running. And if I did, like, nobody was running in a group, at least not when I was out. So every single run was by myself. And that just kind of took the fun out of it. Like, I don't need to run with somebody each and every run I do. But it's nice for those long runs or hard workouts or whatever, just to have someone there. And you improve a lot when you run with people. And I found one guy to run with because I was drunk at a bar and I saw someone's busted Asics. And I was like, okay, this person wouldn't go out to a bar in those busted Asics 2000s if they weren't a runner. There's no way. And so I walked up to that guy and I said, you must be a runner because you're wearing these busted shoes. And he said, no, I'm sorry, I used to run. And I spilled my heart out to him. And then he goes, you know what? I have a friend who says the exact same thing. And he gave me this guy's email. And that's how I found a running buddy in Evanston. And it was because I would clown somebody for his shoes. And so that, in Evanston, I checked out, I heard of Evanston Run Club. And this kind of brings us back to the whole being black in this community. Evanston Running Club, right? Found them out. Like, I'm going to check them out. I run to the track, see what it's all about. From a distance, yo, it's a big group. They've got a lot of people out there. Most of them are pretty darn old. And most of them are pretty darn white. And I was like, you know, I'm kind of over that. I don't think I'm going to walk up in there. I ran away. I literally saw the group and ran away because it was not only were they all white, they were all kind of older. And I just didn't, I was like, I can't not fit in on that many levels. You know, I'm too tired to have to do that. You know, I'm sure a lot of them are great people, but I'm not doing that anymore. So, things got a lot better when I moved to the city.
That's interesting. I never would have thought of it that way in the levels part. In you're like, okay, I already don't fit in because I'm black. I already don't fit in because I'm young. And then, you know, you're just like, all right, I don't want to do this anymore. Do you think that affects a lot of other minority runners? I won't just say African Americans.
Mm-hmm. I think it could. Like, showing up to a big group it's kind of intimidating, you know, because especially going by yourself. And I'm an extroverted person, but when you already know how different you are from the entire group, and from somebody who's been in that space, except normally with people my age, but now there's like this age gap. It's like, what the heck am I going to have to talk to these people about? And a lot of times when you're out running with the groups, you don't want to like have to think about that kind of stuff. You don't, because that takes effort. And when you're the person on the outside, you have to relate to the group. I feel like I was going to have to find a way to engage with this group.
So you thought you were changing yourself if you joined that running group?
I didn't think I'd change myself, but I felt like I knew I was going to have to engage in conversations that I didn't really care to engage with, really is what it was. Or like talk about stuff that I didn't know anything about or care to talk about, kind of thing. You know, and you know, that's kind of prejudiced to look at a group, but it's a big group. Like, come on. And all these people, and there's really like barely anybody. At least when I went, I didn't see any black people. And there might have been some Asians in there, but I didn't see any black people. Maybe there were some Latinos in there, but I'm not sure. I can't remember now. I just know there were no black people and there were a lot of old people. So I definitely do think, because we as black people or minority peoples oftentimes have to be in spaces where we're already surrounded by white people or surrounded by people who are not us. So it's like, this is my extracurricular. This is what I do for fun. This is my way to wind down. Like, this isn't a place where I have to once again exist as the only one of me, you know, and I have to like kind of adjust the things, how I say things or like what I get to talk about because of the group. Like a lot of us already have to deal with that at work. A lot of us have to deal with that in, you know, in other spaces because of, you know, we're in America, we're minorities. So like, since this is supposed to be an activity for me at this point, I don't feel like I should have to do that anymore in this section of my life, you know? Like, I don't feel like it because this is for fun. I already have to do that in other places. So I definitely do think it's something that deters minorities from engaging on that level with distance running. Because like, we don't want to do that when we're doing our own hobbies.
That's a very true statement. And I appreciate your answer. And it's also something eventually I want to circle back to. So eventually you said you ran away.
Yeah.
You know, how did you get into meeting friends in the Chicago running scene?
Yeah. So I went on to work at Fleet Feet where I met you. And, you know, so of course you're meeting runners all the time. But I was still running by myself mostly. And there were a couple people at work that I'd run with. Right. And so another thing for me is like being a woman. So, of course, a lot of women run. Right? Not a lot of women run the way I run. So I'd even find myself not only being like, you know, with the Evanston Run Club, for instance, if I'm in a running group, you know, everyone's different paces, you section off into group. I kind of knew that I was going to be not only the only Black person, the only younger person, but most likely the only woman in whatever group I ended up running in. And so, you know, I still found myself like running by myself a lot, but I'm running. And when I was out one day, it was like a Saturday morning, there was this group of guys tying their shoes as I was coming up on the lakefront. All white guys, whatever. Running. But as I run by them, they all like get up and start to run again. And we just happen to be going the exact same pace. So I'm not gonna speed up or slow down. They don't speed up or slow down. So there's like five white guys. And then there's me, like right behind them. I pretty much almost look like I'm running with these guys. And so I'm running right behind these white guys. And they're going my pace, which is a decent pace. So I'm like, okay, they're runners. And they're like in short shorts. They're not wearing a shirt, you know. So these people mean business to some degree. But I noticed they keep like giving people high fives. They're like, yeah, high fives that are coming the other way. And I saw 3 run 2 was like written on their shirts and stuff. I'm like, okay. So after the run, I like check out their Instagram page Facebook page. And the picture that they posted that day is the group of those white guys I was running right behind. And there I was in the picture, like right behind this group. And so I like message the person like, yo, is it free? Like, what's going on? What is this? And it's like, oh yeah, it's just a run club. Just show up. And so I was like, cool. Cause I already knew people could run my pace. Cause that's another thing. If you're a serious marathoner and you show up in a group, like, how do you necessarily know these people, they're going to have anybody who runs your pace? That's also something that you think about a lot. But I already knew they had some. So I show up one Thursday night, and I was amazed. I was like, oh my gosh, look at this. They're so diverse. I saw so many women. I saw all age groups. And there were like 4 Black people. And I was like, this is diversity. This is wonderful. There's 4 Black people here. I am all in. And so, and a lot of Latinos. The greatest thing is that it just wasn't mostly white. So like, the 4 Black people was great, but, you know, not that great. But it wasn't a mostly white group, which made me feel a lot more comfortable. So, yeah, that was really cool. And that's kind of how I got to know a lot more runners outside of work, outside of Fleet Feet, and have a community. I found a nice community through there.
I think it's funny, after all that we've talked about, it was a bunch of white guys that got you to meet a diverse running group.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yep. And then what was funny too is like how excited I was about how diverse it was. I'm like, man, I'm going to run with like women. I'm going to run with like Black people, all this stuff. And the run starts. And then there I was. I was in the middle of a pack of like 4 or 5 other people who were all white men. And so like at the end of the day, I was still just running with white guys, and which was fine. Cause you know, you mix and mingle like before and after the runs, but yeah, that was just like, kind of like, oh, all right, here we are again. Kind of moment. When I looked up, I was like, oh, this is what's happening. All right.
Okay. So let's circle back to the Evanston story. Something we've talked about, not on a podcast form, is how do we get more African Americans into running. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I feel like, because I feel like now there are a lot more Black people distance running. You know, if you go to a track meet or if you watch the Olympics, you see that most of us are sprinters, you know, like, so that doesn't really have a big place once you're out of that scene, you know. So a lot of people who played football or who played other sports, they start to run because that's what you can still do and kind of compete in as an adult. So there are Black people who run, but I find the biggest lack of us is at the level I perform at, I run at, like how I, you know, have gone under 3-4 marathon multiple times. There aren't that many Black people there, especially Black women specifically. And I'm sure it could be like the same case for Black men if you're saying who've gone under 2:40 or something. So at this like kind of competitive, serious space in marathoning or in distance running, like maybe it's a half marathon or a 5K or something, I think there's a really big lack of Black American people. And so if I think about my experience and how I got into seriously running and like pushing myself and writing workouts, it's because I competed in high school and in college. Like, I don't know if I would have stopped running in high school if I would have got into marathoning. I'm not sure. And I don't, at this level, I might have done it for fun or like just like slow or something, but I don't know if I would have done it at this competitive level. And so I know for me, I'm here because I have that experience. And so how do we get more Black people to take distance running more seriously, to see that they can be really good in this sport too? Like, we can do more than sprint, because Black people, we only see ourselves growing up as sprinters, as fast, as quick, not necessarily as Black Americans, not as long endurance athletes, though we can do really well there and succeed there too. But we're not shown that. We don't see it. No, we don't. Like I said, high school, college, I was the only Black person there for the most part. So I think if we can engage Black students or young people in high school, I think it needs to start there in high school to get into a serious distance program and take distance running as something they can be good at and take seriously, then that'll carry over into their adulthood and they'll keep running and we'll see more Black endurance athletes that perform at like a level that's more than just, you know, I'm running a marathon at 10 minute pace, or they just run 3 times a week. I mean, that they're still runners and that's important too, but I'm talking about where I see the biggest lack of Black people. And so maybe it'd be that kid that, hey, they don't play football, they don't play basketball, they're not a sprinter. Maybe we somehow engaging other Black people who don't engage in those sports for whatever reason. I don't know. We just got to, I think it's got to start at high school. Get more high schools, more Black high schoolers seriously into distance running. And I don't know exactly how that's done.
You mentioned that a lot of people see us, you know, as sprinters. How do we get high school coaches to get more African Americans to try different events? Because I've heard in some other places, they think part of the reasons that African Americans aren't in the distance running is because a high school coach or a middle school coach immediately threw them into sprinting.
Yeah, that actually happened to me in high school. My freshman year, the distance coach, he was also the head coach, and he had put me in sprints. He had like made me do the 200, and I didn't understand that. Yeah, so that's just kind of racist in a way. Yeah, like people's perceptions have to change, and understanding of what Black people are and can do has to shift. And yeah, I guess the coaches, and my coach, he coached me through cross country, and he still did that. And I had to stand up and tell him, like, yo, I'm not doing the 200. I don't do the 200. I don't want to do it. I had to tell him that because he tried to have me do sprints my freshman year. Dang, I forgot about that. But we have to be understood differently. And like I said, when you watch the Olympics, where are we? You know, and so even for coaches, it's really the only thing they see. So I guess it's up to them to make sure that every athlete, every new athlete gives every event a try, you know? And also for Black people, distance running isn't really seen as, we talked about this, like it's not cool, you know? Yeah. And Black people we're notoriously cool. We're just cool. So it's, I don't know. I don't know how to, because cross country, those kids are weird. They're weird. They are, like, you didn't run in high school or in college, but in high school, they are strange. Because, you know, it's kind of like the sport for people that don't necessarily get along with other people and aren't necessarily coordinated, you know, like, so it does attract a lot of weird people because you can do it. Like, you're not going to get cut from the team and you're still going to be able to play, even if you're not good, kind of thing. And Black people, we don't necessarily do things that aren't cool. I don't know. I don't know, man. So changing also the how people understand endurance running as, hey, it's not something just white people do, and it's cool, it's fun, it's healthy, and being healthy is important. Like I told you about the guy from who does We Run 313 in Detroit, and that huge, huge group they have out there of all Black people. And I was like, how did you do it? And he is like, I just started running. And people were asking me like what I was doing and wanted to join. And it's cause he's cool. Like he's just a regular, and by cool, I mean, he's just a regular Black guy. He's not even, he's just a regular Black guy who people saw themselves in and identified with. And so they're like, I can, you know, he's just like me and he's doing this cause it's something that he says is important, it's healthy, and it's gotten him through some stuff. It can do the same thing for me. And in high school, we don't necessarily have that. I don't think Black high schoolers see anybody that they see themselves in on the cross country team, like whether it's a coach or other members of the team. Like it's hard to go and be that person, be the one person who's there. It's hard. And we also talked about like all Black high schools, and we're like, they must have cross country programs. The problem is they're it's a joke at mostly Black high schools. Their cross country programs are not taken seriously. It's like headed by the sprint coach kind of thing, and they don't know what they're doing.
Or football coach in a lot of places.
Exactly. So, you know, they're not taught to take it seriously enough to be good at it enough for it to carry over into adulthood the way it did for me. So, I think if we could really change it at the high school level, then ultimately we'll have a lot more Black people in the running community and in a more serious and competitive way, like I'd love to see later in their lives. And
yeah, maybe even professionally, because like you said, we don't see ourselves in distance events. I mean, there are a few, but with the way running is shown, you know, kids aren't really going to be attracted to a lot of those mediums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Thanks for joining and spending a lot of time with me. I want to get into some of the stuff you do outside of running. What is one of your favorite things to do that doesn't involve running?
Ew. Well, I love stories. So I do like to read. I like TV and movies a lot. And I do draw a little bit. Not a lot. I gotta feel a type of way. But I do draw some. But ultimately, really my favorite thing to do, I think, is just to be around people that I love being around, spending time with, like, my friends and family. And so what I'm doing doesn't ever matter as much as who I'm with. Like, I'll do something that I don't really like to do just to be with people I like to be with. Like, I went for a beer the other day. I'm not really into beer, but I just wanted to hang out with people. So anytime I get to spend with folks that I love, I'll do whatever that is. So that's probably ultimately my favorite thing to do outside of running.
And that's my first podcast recording. I hope you enjoyed it and will spread the word. Thank you again to Angela for taking the time to join me. I think I'll definitely have to have her on again. Talk to you soon.